Come on, why don't you extend that worship to God right now? Why don't you lift your voice all over this house? Come on, oh God, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, oh God. Hallelujah. Anybody excited to be in service tonight? Anybody expecting a move of God in this house tonight? Hallelujah. It is always an honor to teach or speak in the house that raised you. I'm so thankful for the men and women of God in this house today that passed down wisdom and knowledge to the young people coming behind them. Any young person thankful for a mentor? Any middle-aged person thankful for somebody who knew more than you and passed it down? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for everything God is doing in my life and in my family's life. Just overwhelmed with the blessings of God. And I believe that there's a word in the house tonight. Somebody going to help me preach? Hallelujah. Just got two passages of scripture. Why don't we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be reading in verse 18. When you have it, say amen. And it reads, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And why don't we turn to Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 18. And it reads, "Where there is no vision," look at your neighbor and say, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Come on, why don't you put your Bibles down and let's praise and magnify God for his word that is in this house tonight. Mighty God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, oh God. We come, oh God, humbly into your presence tonight, expecting, oh God, to hear from you, oh God. I pray that you anoint my lips, oh God, as I declare your word in this house, oh God. I pray that every heart, oh God, that is broken in this house tonight, let it be changed. Come on, somebody lift up high praise right now. Let somebody who has been distressed in their mind, God, come and visit us tonight and let your spirit come into this house. Hallelujah, we need you, oh God. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you're going to help me preach. When we examine the diagram illustrated in Brother Wilson's Ultimate Leadership book, we see that the first most primary experience that a person needs to have, what he calls it, is a spiritual event instant, beginning in spiritual formation. And in the book, it asks the question, how does spiritual formation come? Look at your neighbor and say, how does spiritual formation come? And he says, he asked the question, is it chirological, vertical, or is it horizontal, chronological? Is it a process, or is it a life-changing instant? I'm here to tell you that spiritual formation comes by a life-changing instant and by process. Amen? When we receive the Holy Ghost, God infuses us with power to become whatever he has called us to be. Amen. Evidenced by speaking in tongues. When we receive the Spirit of God in our life, God begins to renew us. God begins to change us, and he gives us love. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us understanding. Do I have a witness tonight that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, from that day forward, your life was forever changed? He has given you power to tread over scorpions and all the power of the enemy. He has given us a new heart, a new mind. He has sanctified us, and this happens in this moment. Anybody thankful for the Holy Ghost today? And it's also by process. Paul is talking to the Galatians. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you," signifying that there is a process that we must go through. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let our eyes be fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher." And another version says, "A perfecter of our faith." We will continue to be formed in him by process. As we allow the Spirit of God to transform us, God will continue to inform us of the vision and the purpose that he has for our lives. The template is laid out in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train, it filled the temple." Isaiah has an encounter with God. This call may be his initial entrance into the ministry, but it's also possible that Isaiah received an earlier commission, and this vision was more specific. What we can say is that from this moment on in his life will forever be changed. It is in this vision of God that spiritual formation begins, and a theology of spiritual formation is developed. Verse 5, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Y'all still with me tonight? This verse gives vision of self. In the presence of God, we see our mortality. We see our fragility. We see our sin, everything that's not like him. Our instinct should be to allow God to cover us and to purge us from all unrighteousness, not to shy away and recluse back into ourselves. I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God is in this house. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. Do I have a testimony tonight? In the presence of God, when the information or when the Spirit comes down, I want to have the right response. When God overshadows us, when we're in the house like tonight, when the Spirit of God is moving, I want to be able to move. I want to be able to respond to the feeling or to the Spirit that I feel in this house. I don't want to be living out my own vision or my own thing. I don't want to allow the things of the world or the stresses of the world to press me down or have a weight of heaviness in this house. But when the Spirit of God is going forth in the house of God, I want to respond to him. I want the Spirit of God to live inside me. I want God to always move on me and in my life. God, I want to be where you are. Does anybody want to be where God is? God, I need a vision from the invisible. If I was going to title this tonight, I'm not real good with titles, but we need a vision from the invisible. I can think back my own life. It was July of 1996 in Norfolk, Virginia, in First Pentecostal Church. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was a chirological moment that I knew right then and there that my life would never be the same. And it's also by process. I remember being in Mississippi, and the first time I can recall feeling the presence of God. I was playing Super Nintendo in my room. Y'all don't know nothing about Super Nintendo. And I was about 7 or 8 years old playing Super Nintendo, and I just felt something come inside the room. And I began to weep and cry. I didn't understand what was going on, but now looking back, I could see where the Spirit of God came into that room and overshadowed me. And I began to feel the love in the presence of God, and I began to cry. And I was playing that video game, and I didn't understand why this video game wasn't enough. All the other days, I'll spend hours and hours playing, but today, God infused me. God gave me a taste of something that I never had before this moment. And I put that video game down, And I walked down that hallway and I went into my mom's room and I said, "Mom, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, but I just feel like I need to quit playing this right now. I don't know why I'm crying right now, but I just need something." But as I got old and I began to realize that was the Spirit of God yearning for me and pulling for me, saying, "Son, I got something greater for you. You may not know it right now, but I want you to feel the love of God in this moment. I want you to remember in this moment that I am with you. I just want you to remember when you are older, I need you to remember this moment that, son, I love you." I can still feel it. I still remember how I felt, not being able to articulate it, but I knew it was the drawing of God. And as the process of time kept going, I remember all these moments where God came into my life and showed me a newer, a greater understanding and revelation of him. I remember when we started Tuesday night prayer, and they would encourage us to come and say, "This is going to be a dynamic time of prayer. And I don't want you to come in here and just do a patty cake prayer, but I want you to go to a deep place. I want you to seek after God. I want you to turn some wheels and pull some chains and see what God would do." And I remember coming to those prayer meetings and saying, "God, I don't know what you want to do in my life. I know that you're real. I see the effect of you all around, but God, I want to know you for myself." And as I begin to pray, God will continue to reveal himself to me. God gave me more understanding about him in a short period of time than I ever had in my life as I began to continue to pursue after him in those prayer meetings. And I would take what I felt in those prayer meetings and I would take it home. I would stand with my grandmother at the time and I would take it into her living room and I would cry. I would groan. I would yell in that dark living room, and God will begin to visit me. God will begin to show me, "Hey, because you're seeking after me, because you're diligently seeking after me, I got something for you." And as I begin to pray, God will reveal to me some things about myself that I needed to do. Some of those things I didn't want to do. But God would show me, "Hey, you need to do this. If you want to do something in the kingdom of God, I need you to do these things." And it may hurt in the moment, but God was giving me a vision from the invisible. He reached down into my heart and showed me, "Hey, I need you to do this because you're seeking after me, because you're diligent after me. I'm going to do something in your heart and in your mind." Is anybody with me tonight? Do I have a testimony tonight that when you were seeking after God and you said, "God, I need you more than ever. God, I need you to show me right now what you have for me." And you prayed, did God reveal himself to you? Did God show you what he wanted to do in you? I'm here to tell you tonight that prayer works, people. You have the Holy Ghost for a reason. God has anointed you for a reason. And it's up to us, by process, we cultivate what God has given us. It's up to us to dig out the vision that God is going to give to us. It's up to us to be diligent in prayer, because God is going to give us, or give you, a vision from the invisible. These experiences that we're talking about, these are pulling you incrementally up to your purpose. Every experience builds on the one before eventually displaying a robust, solid spiritual leader capable of sustaining an ongoing effectiveness in the kingdom of God. You just keep being faithful. Young person, you keep being faithful to prayer. You keep being diligent in prayer, and God will reveal to you the vision that he has for your life. Married couple, young married couple, you keep praying, you keep lifting up your voice, you keep seeking the face of God, and God will reveal the vision that he has for your life. Does anybody believe that tonight? Come on, why don't you clap your hands for that all over this house? In Romans 12 and 1, it reads, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as I read this, I began to see, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, oftentimes it pops into my head the first thing that comes to mind. And when I see the word transform, just made me think of something automatic or instant. But if you go and look at the word transform, what it means is metamorphosis, or to make a change over time. And when I think about metamorphosis, I think about a butterfly, how it goes through many stages before it becomes what it's supposed to be. And I'll look at our life in God that way. In this process, God is informing us, just like the caterpillar who eats every day, who is diligent every day. We eat and feast on the things of God. And we go through these stages where God is continually renewing our mind. God is continually changing our mind and our perception of Him, but we have to be diligent and keep eating and feasting on the things of God, and you will have a renewed mind. You have to continue to do it. I remember being young and being upset, not necessarily upset, but conflicted in my spirit because things didn't happen as fast as I thought they should. And I was upset with God because I was dealing with some things, and I was upset with myself because I feel like I wasn't living up to the standard of myself, what I held to myself. And I began to think about all the times that I let carnality, or I didn't pursue fully after the things of God, or I didn't do the thing that God had told me to do, and I stopped eating the things of God. I stopped digesting. I stopped doing all those things that got me to that point. I stopped doing all those things. And I wonder why I was frustrated. I wonder why I was upset, because I stopped walking and eating the things of God. Is this making sense to anybody? So I'm here to tell you in this house tonight, if you have stopped eating the things of God, if you have stopped allowing the things of God to come into your life, the reason that you're frustrated is that you're not allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life. Be not conformed. See, when you stop eating and seeking after God, you will start to be conformed to the world around you. You will start allowing the world to have influence over your life. You will start being angry all the time. You will start allowing that root of bitterness to spurt up in your life because you didn't allow the Spirit of God to work. You didn't allow it to be renewed in your mind. Let me get an amen tonight. But you got to continue to feast on those things. And he says that ye may prove. We have to prove what is good. We have to prove what is acceptable. We have to prove what is perfect, what the will of God is for our lives. As you allow the Spirit of God and the things of God to be manifest in you, you are proving that every devil, every trap, every snare that had your name on it, every carnal thing that wanted to drag you down, you're proving that by me diligently seeking after the things of God, those things won't have me. Life will continue to press on me. Life will continue to do what it's supposed to do. It is the threshing floor. But as I walk diligently after the things of God, God will continue to prove in my life what is good, what is perfect, what is acceptable, what is the will of God for my life. It is my job to continue to walk after him, to seek after the vision that God has for my life. I'm talking about a vision of the invisible. We can't allow the news outlets to inform us. We can't allow social media to inform us. I'm here to let you know that they have an agenda. They want to get you focused on these trivial things and not after the things of God. There is no end to that. It's always going to be there. It's always been a stumbling block for the Christian. But the Christian in 2021, we're going to be set our face on the things of God. We're not going to allow social media or the news or any other thing to influence us. Are you with me tonight? We got to have the mind of the Spirit because we have what the world needs. Amen. The world doesn't need the latest stats about sports. They don't. They don't need you to be woke about these social things that are going on. They got enough people barking on social media already. They don't need you to be involved in those things. At the end of the day, all of those things don't matter. But what your family needs, what this world needs, is for you to get a vision from God. What this world needs more than ever is for a Holy Ghost-filled apostolic to go down in the prayer room and seek the face for your city, to seek the face for your family, to seek the face of God for every administration, whether Democrat or Republican. The world needs an apostolic to have a vision from God. And in that, God will change your city. God will change your family. God will change your workplace. God would allow you to walk into their place and allow the Spirit of God to come into the house and come into that workplace and allow somebody who has been seeking after God. God would allow them, their heart, to be open to you in that moment. And God has opened a door for you to communicate the gospel to them. Your work needs a vision from God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We need the Spirit of God. We need to live out the purpose and the plan that God has for us. Amen. So I think about my early 20s and in my marriage, I was prioritizing third dimensional things. Things that were carnal, like my job and money. I love money. Anybody else love money? But it cannot be prioritized over the things of God. We have to be spiritually minded. We have to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We can't allow the distractions and the carnal things of this world weigh us down. And we're leaning more and more on that instead of the things of God. As I think about how I was, or my mindset in my early 20s, I think about how I was pursuing those things instead of the things of God. It wasn't that I set God to the side, but I was more interested in making money instead of the things of God. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't make much. I didn't make much. And I felt like years were going by, but I believe God was teaching me some in that moment. See, you can pursue and work hard. You can work 16 hours a day all you want to, and you still won't have enough money. But if you prioritize the things of God, I would have blessed you. I would have kept you. And I did keep you when you didn't have enough money in the bank. I was there, and I provided for you. I was there for you. I'm here to tell you, apostolic, don't prioritize money. Don't prioritize the things of this world. God is there. God will provide for you. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all those things will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where there's thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold on to one and despise the other. Ye can't serve God and mammon. You have to choose. Am I going to have a vision from God, or I'm going to allow the things of this world to entrap me and cause me to be distracted? I have to choose. I need a vision from God. You need to lean on the things of God, because God will take care of you. God will be there for you. Let the church say amen. In verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, in the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take not thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. You need to continue to seek after God and everything that God has for you. And everything that you desire in this life, it will be added unto you. Why don't we clap our hands in this house and praise God for that? Come on, with an apostolic stand to their feet and says, I will continue to seek after God and all of his righteousness. I will not let the cares of this world or the things of this world bring me down. If I have a burden of heaviness, I will lay it down, and I will allow the Spirit of God to fill my life. What happens when you reject the vision of God? Think about Hosea. Hosea's life was going to be an illustration of Israel's infidelity toward God and how they sought after other gods. Over and over again, God confronted Hosea and compelled him to represent him to a wayward Israel. Hosea's life, including his choice of a wife, the naming of his children, his increasing narrow circle of friends, and painful denunciations of his beloved Israel, all mirrored God's embattled relationship with his people. And we know the story, how Hosea, God commands Hosea, he says, I need you to take of a wife. I need you to pay for her. And she is a lady who is of ill reproach. She is a lady that a lot of men will not want. And we pick up in Hosea 2 and 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that can see them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. See, the bread and the water and the oil, all these things that she is talking about, this was the responsibility of the husband. And we know the husband is representative of God. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they have prepared for Baal. She was looking for something that was already in the house. She was looking outside the things of God to there, and God had already provided that for her. We need to understand that God has something for our lives, and we need not to look outside the things of God to get what God has for you. It's already in the house. Whatever you're seeking after, it is already in the house. Whatever you're looking for, it is already in the house. But Gomer's habit of adultery compelled her to continue to give herself for what her legal marriage should have provided. This aptly described Israel. Baal and other gods of ancient Near East were believed to give fertility to the ground and rain from the sky in exchange for worship. Israel similarly sought after Baal in an effort to secure what God had already provided. We need not to look outside the things of God. It's already in the house. It's already here. Whatever you seek, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Hosea 4, verse 1, it reads, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. God charged her with a failure to recognize the basis of the covenant is compassion and simply not obligation. This was a result of the lack of truth of knowledge of God. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go out there and see what the world has. It's empty. It's vain. There's nothing there for you. You need to seek after God. You need to gain wisdom. You need to gain knowledge from God to get what you need from him. What God wants to do in your life is greater than following rules. What God wants to do in you is greater than a standard. God seeks a relationship with you. And when you prioritize the things outside the things of God, God is upset. God is wondering, why are you going out there? Everything that I have for you is in the house. God wants us to understand that he wants us to be close to him. He wants us to draw close to him. And by doing that, you receive a vision for God. And when you do that, you can turn your world upside down. Don't look to money. Don't look to social media. Don't look to the things of this world to get what you need. God has everything for you in the house of God. Are you with me tonight? In Hosea 4 in verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they has reject knowledge. And I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, and I will also forget thy children. It isn't that God says that his people are completely ignorant. They have some knowledge, but not enough. They may just have enough to make them think that they know it all. What kind of knowledge did they lack? In context, the first answer must be the lack of knowledge of God. They knew God some, perhaps a little, but not enough. Perhaps they felt God, they knew God well enough already. The second kind of knowledge is that they knocked the knowledge of God's word. They know the word of God some, perhaps a little, but not enough. Perhaps they felt that they knew God's word well enough already. It should be no surprise to us that there is a connection between knowing God in knowing his word. Some people think that Bible knowledge is boring and it's necessary, but it is necessary for a real walk with God. God wants you to commune with him. God wants you to be in relationship with him. Don't reject knowledge. When the man of God speaks over this pulpit, you need to receive everything that the man of God has for you. When the teacher teaches, you need to take it as gospel and apply it to your life, because we need the wisdom and knowledge of God in our lives. We don't want to be rejected by God. We don't want to be in a place where God has pushed us away, but we want to be in the bosom of the Father. We want to be close to him. We want to have a relationship with him. We want to apply the wisdom and knowledge of God to our lives, because in him is everything you need. Look at your neighbor and say, God is everything I need. They rejected knowledge. They rejected the wisdom of God. And God uses Hosea as an example to Gomer, that she is engaging in infidelity, and she goes out to the men and she is constantly cheating on Hosea, but he always has to go and buy her back. And this is what God does with Israel. Every time that they fall away, God is there to draw them back to the house. God is there to bring them back into the fold. I'm here to tell you tonight that even if you've fallen on your face, and even if you have rejected wisdom, God will be there every step of the way. Do I have anybody that have fallen on their face and God was there? Do I have anybody in this house that can say, God, mercy, it endureth forever, and it is to every generation. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm thankful for God's mercy. I'm thankful for God's grace. But in this, I need a vision from the invisible. Lamentations 3 and 21 talks about mercy. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the hope of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his passions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Anybody thankful for the mercies of God tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. In doing this, we have to continue to engage the three portals that we talk about all the time: in prayer, in worship, in the word of God. I'm here to tell you that prayer is not out of style today. I still believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I'm here to tell you that the most humblest thing, the most effective thing that you can do in the kingdom of God is get down on your knees and pray. If you want a vision from God, you need to find a place of prayer. And in prayer, God will show you the deep character flaws that need to be addressed. God will show you the things that God wants to do in your life. God will show you the sin that needs to be removed. God will show you the knowledge that you need to gain by being in his presence. When I think about sin and how it can turn us away from God, we can't continue to think of sin as an infraction against the law, but we have to see it as an indictment against what God is calling us to be. We're going on from that. We're going to see what God is going to do in our lives, and we're not going to allow, or we're not in our mind, we're not going to see, or we're not. Come on, let's pray right now. Let me get myself together. Mighty God, we love you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Come on, let's pray. I believe there's a word in this house for somebody tonight. I believe I'm preaching the word of God, and somebody needed to allow the Spirit of God to move on their life right now. Somebody need to let these words that is of the Bible of God right now to be manifest or take hold in your life right now. We can't only think of sin as an infraction against the law, but an indictment unto what God is calling us to be. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. We have to continue to push on to what God has for us. And we got to understand that every day God has given me grace. God has given me grace every day to become what he has called me to be. And it's my duty to continue to seek after him. I'm here to let you know that we still need praise and worship in the house of God. Worship is a lifestyle, and praise should be an expression of our worship because it is rooted in obedience, and it's by commitment, and it's by consecration. We still need praise and worship in our house. In Proverbs 1:19, it talks about the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need the word of God in our lives. And I've mentioned it before. We need the man of God to speak into our lives. We need him to declare vision for us. We need his wisdom in our lives. God has given us a man of God to lead us and guide us through every season. Proverbs 29, we read it already. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to receive a word from God. We need to allow it to work in our lives. There is a cadence. There's an equilibrium to the things of God. And when you apply the things of God to your life, God will continue to move in your life. I'm talking about a vision from the invisible. There's a rhythm in being connected and involved in speaking and writing and meditating and teaching, living out the word of God. We need a vision from him. And talking about the things of God in Habakkuk 2:2, he says, Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets that ye may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. For though it delays, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not delay. I'm here to tell you, you need to receive the things of God. You need to receive the word of God. And when trouble comes in my life, I can say I'm not going to look to the things of the world, but my eyes are fixed on you, oh God. Your wisdom and your knowledge will never leave me, but I will continue to seek after you and everything that you have for you. Let the church say amen. Brother Sam, why don't you come? Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I'm here to tell you, as you go through every season, as you're persecuted, as you're troubled, as you're perplexed, you need a vision from God. For which we live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you.
for all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I'm talking about a vision from the invisible. In this last day, in these hard times, it's easy for an individual to be distracted by what's going on in the world. It's easy for us to cling our hearts to every social cause or whatever the case may be. But as the world is going up in flames, and as the world continues to seek its own way, God is looking for a saint in the house of God who will fall on their knees and pray, who will continue to seek his face and worship him in obedience, who will continue to be diligent in the word and seek after him and seek after a vision from the invisible. Because in this house, God is going to do great things in every young person, in every family, in every middle-aged person, and every person that comes into this house, because God has desired a great thing in Birmingham. But he is wondering if you will continue to seek after him and gain a vision for what he wants to do in this city, what he wants to do in your family, what he wants to do on your job, what he wants to do in your heart. He is wondering, will you gain vision from the invisible? I know times may be tough, and I know it may be hard in your life. Sometimes there is a good excuse. But God wants to know, will you dwell with me? Will you be with me? Will you seek after me? Will you gain a vision that I have for your life? Everything that you seek, I will get it for you, or I have it for you. You don't have to go out, get it. I'm in this house for you. I desire a relationship with you. You may be broken in your spirit tonight, but God says, I am the heart mender. You may feel like your mind is in disarray today, but God renews minds. You may be broken in your spirit today, but God has something great for you. God will renew your spirit. God will do a great thing in your life, but he wants to know, will you seek after him? Why don't we stand all over this house right now? There's someone in this house that you may have not done everything right, but you're still going to seek after the things of God. I wonder if you could come to this altar tonight. Let's all join together in prayer and say, God, whatever you have for me, I want it. God, I'm not going to allow the cares of this world or the stresses of this world to keep me from you. I need a vision from you tonight, oh God. Apostolic that will seek after him. They're not-